Good morning, everyone, and happy Advent. Oh, that's pretty good. That's not really a thing, is it? We don't really say happy Advent to anyone. But anyway, today, as we've heard, is the first Sunday in Advent. So although we started our Joy to the World series a few weeks ago, it's now official. We are on the lead up to Christmas. Wow. I was expecting a bit of a cheer there. You can't be tired of it already. Well, actually, you probably can. But that's exactly where Advent is supposed to come in. It's a time for us, as we've already heard, to get prepared for Christmas. But let me be clear, if you're already sitting there ticking off the things in your head of all the things you haven't done yet, all the things you've got to buy, all those preparations, as Karen was talking about earlier, then can I ask you to put those aside for a moment? You know, when we're preparing now, what we're preparing for is the arrival of Jesus. And let's be honest, when we look at the Gospels, how often does Jesus turn up at the place where they expect him? How often does he turn up at the place that's all prepared and beautiful and then matching napkin rings? He never seems to turn up in those places. Where he seems to show up is always where the hearts have been prepared for him. That's where he shows up. And so this Advent time, let us take time rather to prepare our homes, let's prepare our hearts to receive him. So if you are sat there this morning, all the Christmas preparation is running through your mind, can I ask you to stop, try and put it aside for a moment, so that we can make room in our hearts for him today. So before we dive into looking at joy and hope this morning, let's just pray. Father, we do thank you for this season of Christmas, but we thank you for this season of Advent. And we do thank you for the way that you, Jesus, would never seem to show up where you were expected, but always showed up where you were needed. And God, we need you. And Jesus, we pray we would prepare our hearts room for you this Advent. Would you help us this morning to lay aside all the things that are vying for our attention, all the preparations that are even now cramming into our minds? Would you help us to put them aside and hear your voice? We pray this morning, Spirit, we would hear your voice through your scriptures and we'd be prepared for this wonderful season. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today we are looking at joy again, and joy and hope. Advent is meant to be a hopeful season, a season of hopeful anticipation, hope-filled anticipation. I've had the privilege so far this year of experiencing Christmas through the eyes of a toddler, which is just amazing. It's just absolutely brilliant. And I've sort of forgotten what it was like to be a child at Christmas. So hopefully you can remember. But the excitement, everything kind of changes and becomes more beautiful. The eagerness of, is it Christmas yet? Is it Christmas yet? Come on, it's got to be Christmas today. We've been talking about it already for ages. That beautiful eagerness that there is in Advent. And that is what Advent is supposed to be like. We are supposed to have that eagerness, that excitement. We're supposed to enjoy it. We're not supposed to, as I think perhaps I did as a child, kind of wish it away. Like, come on, if I burn down more of the candle, perhaps it will go quicker. But no, it's not meant to be a race. Advent is supposed to be a time where we savor, we revel in the hope of what is just around the corner. It's a time to actually enjoy waiting. It's uncomfortable though, isn't it? It's really uncomfortable. That's something that we're not actually that good at. As a society, I think we've gotten really bad at waiting. We live in sort of an instant culture. You know, Narelle and I the other day were outraged to discover that we'd started a TV series that's on weekly. Like, you have to wait a whole week to watch the next one. And I know that's obvious, and I know that was the way it always used to be, and how it is still in some cases, but we're not used to it. We're used to being able to binge it, to be able to watch the next episode straight away. As a society, we seem to be used to on-demand TV, to next-day delivery, to even same-day delivery. We aren't used to waiting anymore, and we don't like to wait, which makes it even more difficult to understand that we're supposed to find joy in waiting. There is joy to be found as we dwell in the hope of what is coming, as we rest in the hope and savor that present moment, knowing what is just beyond the horizon. When was the last time you experienced joy in waiting? You know, maybe it was a holiday where you'd planned it and you'd sorted it, and then all your time at work was thought about thinking, imagining what it was going to be like to actually be on holiday. Or maybe it was a wedding. There's a few of us preparing for weddings in our family at the moment. And maybe it's that, all that preparation going on and the joy of waiting for that day. Or maybe it's the birth of a child, although there's a lot of fear involved in that one as well. But too much, it seems, we try and avoid waiting these days. And there is joy to be found in the hope within waiting. And that's what Advent is supposed to be for us, a time of hope-filled anticipation, a time where we rediscover and call to attention the hope that we have and find joy in dwelling in that hope. And the hope that we have in Advent is really easy to get our heads around and really complicated at the same time. But it's simply three words. Jesus is coming. That's the hope that we call to our attention in Advent. Jesus is coming. We don't just look back to the moment Jesus came the first time. We don't just look backwards to the manger. We also look inwards and forwards too. And this morning, that's what we're going to do. We're going to look at the hope that we find in Advent and how we look backwards, how we look inwards, and how we look forwards to find that hope and why it leads us to joy. So first, let's look back. Let's look back at that first Christmas, that first event of Jesus' birth and the hope that we find in that. Yes, it's already happened, but there is hope to be found in Jesus' birth today and in the future as well. We have the hope that God has not forgotten us. Jesus was born and we have not been forgotten. You know, we have hope that because Jesus was born, God broke into our world, that he can still break into our world today. We have the hope that that story brings us. The fact that God himself loves us to the extent that God would leave his throne in heaven and come and become a human being for us. That he would live a perfect life, die a perfect death, come back from life from death in the perfect way so that we might have a relationship with him. That is the hope we have today because of that event. We have hope because of Jesus' birth. And it's that, isn't it, that we celebrate at Christmas. That's the thing that I think we know, isn't it? It's the reason for the season. Jesus was born at Christmas, so that's what we celebrate on the 25th of December. But also we hope in that celebration, don't we? Yes, I hope we hope in that first moment of Jesus being born. But actually, we hope in that celebration. We look forward to that celebration. When it comes to the 25th of December, when it comes to a few weeks' time, when it comes to Advent, generally, we're preparing for that celebration, aren't we? And we're hoping in that celebration. And there's nothing necessarily wrong in hoping in that celebration, but it's an easy hope, isn't it? Well, let me explain what I mean. Let me ask you a question. How certain are you that Christmas is coming this year? How certain are you that in less than a month, we will be celebrating Christmas? Unless you're extremely pessimistic, I'd imagine you're fairly confident, aren't you? Christmas is coming. You know, we have that hope of that celebration. It is coming. But what feeds that hope? Why do you have that hope? Why are you so certain that Christmas is coming? And of course, it may not look the way we expect it to, but how are you so certain it's going to be here? I'll let you ponder that, but for me, it's because it always comes. I have 37 years of experience. Christmas comes every year. And so I'm fairly certain it's going to happen. But there's something beautiful in the heart of this. We have the hope that Christmas is coming because of our past experience, because we know what we know of the past. We hope in not some sort of speculative way. Oh, I really hope Christmas comes this year. We hope with a certainty, and it's this that I want to drill down into, because that's something so vital to Christian hope, to hope that belongs to the followers of Jesus, that it's not speculative. It's not, oh, I hope it happens. It's certain. And what's beautiful is it is based on the past. I have a certain hope that Christmas is coming this year because Christmas always comes. But I have a certain hope for the future of this world that God will break into it because God already broke into it. I have a hope for the future in the promises of God because God always fulfills his promises. I have a hope for the future because God has been faithful in the past and will be faithful in the future. We have hope because we look backwards. because of Christmas. Christmas is one of the most beautiful proofs that God is to be trusted. Because if we look at the whole Old Testament, as Emma has already said this morning, the whole Old Testament, God's saying, I'm coming to rescue you. I'm coming to save you. In fact, if you go back to Genesis, and I'm probably going to get emotional at this point because I just think it's so beautiful. If you go back to Genesis, the very moment of the fall, one of the first things God says to them as he's telling them the consequences of their action is, I'm coming to save you. Whoa, that's a bad one. Sorry. Gosh, I'm very tired. Gosh. Anyway, God, can we do that bit again? How incredible. I love that. The very moment he's telling them the consequences, he says, I'm coming to save you. And Christmas is that moment, the proof that God can be trusted. And we have the benefit of all these Christmases that have gone past, but this was the hope of the prophets, that they can believe that the Messiah was coming because of everything God had done in the past for them. And when we look at the passage in Isaiah 9, as we heard earlier, it says, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation, increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. Notice the tense that Isaiah uses. You know, he doesn't say the people walking in darkness will see a great light. It's the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And it's not because Isaiah thinks that this has already happened. It's because he is so certain of this that he may as well talk about it as if it's already happened. He's so certain this is going to happen that he may as well talk about it as if it has already happened. It's exactly the way Jesus tells us to pray. Pray not as if you want something, but pray as if God has already given it to you. That is the hope that we have. It's not speculative. It's not dependent on our circumstances or even what our eyes see, but entirely dependent on who God has shown himself to be, the faithful keeper of promises. But I recognize that's not actually always easy to hear. You know, in my preparation, I read something this week that really stuck with me, and I need to think about it some more, but I'll share it with you so we can think about it together and we can reflect on it. But somebody said this, there are no hopeless situations in life. There are only people who have grown hopeless about them. I definitely need to think about that one some more, but I also felt this morning that there may be some of us or some among us who feel like they have grown hopeless about maybe a situation in their life or about maybe just looking at the world around them, have just grown hopeless, who can't see how they can be anything but devoid of hope. Perhaps some who are clinging to a promise that they feel God has made to them, but they still aren't seeing fulfilled. And I know I've been there. And if that is you this morning, as much as I'd love to tell you, I have a specific word from God that everything's going to be all right. I felt all he said to me was to remind you of this, of Christmas. That Christmas shows us our God is faithful. That Christmas shows us that our God keeps his promises, even if we don't remember them or understand them. That he is a God of the impossible, the improbable, and even the unlikely. That nothing, not birth, not life, or even death is able to stop his love for you. And that you are not alone. In whatever situation you find yourself, you are not alone because he is with you and we are with you. Later on, there will be an opportunity to phone in or come forward for prayer at the end of the service, as there always is. And I just implore you, if that's you this morning, to come forward and to receive prayer, to be reminded of our God. Because we can have hope in all the promises of God. We can rejoice and experience joy in his promises because Christmas shows us that he keeps them. And this Advent, we can experience, as we look backwards, the fulfilled hope of that first Christmas. But as we look back, I think also we can't help but recognize this second view of looking at Advent as we look inwards at the hope of Jesus' entry into our lives today. We obviously look backwards and remember his birth, but there is a more personal, more immediate, more current hope. The hope that even now Jesus can and does break into our lives. that we can meet him in our everyday lives, that he can act in our world, that he can redeem every moment of our everyday lives. He can mold us and shape us and change us. And it's a hope many of us, I pray, have already experienced, that we've met him and we've chosen to follow him. But if this morning you are sitting there and you're like, I'm not sure I have met Jesus, then I've got some good news for you. He wants to meet with you today. He wants to meet with you today. And as we've said earlier, he's not waiting for you to get your house in order. He's not waiting for you to get your life in order. He wants to meet you no matter how you are. If you're feeling completely messed up right now or completely overwhelmed, he wants to meet you today if you want to meet him. But even for those who have known him for years, we may still hope to see more of his action in our life. That we may want to see him redeem every moment of our everyday lives. And you may get deja vu here because it's this. Joy can be found in a living relationship with God. In fact, that is where it's found. In a living relationship with God that is available to every single one of us. And part of the hope of Advent is, yes, that Jesus was born into the world at Christmas, but yes, that he still breaks into our lives today. In Romans 12, as we heard earlier, Paul was once again commanding joy. He said to them, be joyful in hope. He says to us, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. You know, Paul is once again commanding us to be joyful, and this time in hope. In the hope that we have in Jesus, the hope of his birth, the hope that he won us on the cross, but also the hope in what he's doing now. You see, this verse is sandwiched between Paul talking about how we're to live together as believers in Jesus, as followers of Jesus, and then how we're to interact with the world. It's right slap bang in the middle of these. And I think it provides the link between those two things, how we live together as the family of Jesus and how we interact with the world. When Paul talks about how we're to be together as brothers and sisters, he says we are to love one another. I'm going to pause for a moment there because that's probably not news to you. And unfortunately, what happens is we tend to get so used to hearing that we don't actually take it in. I wonder if that's why Paul says, I want your love to be genuine. Let your love be genuine. Let us really understand here, we are to love one another. Not to fake it, not to say we love our brothers and sisters, but then not act like it. Not to fool ourselves and try and fool others, but to let our love be genuine and to love one another. What does that look like? You know, I love that Paul does give us a little bit of an insight, and it's just so beautiful. In the English Standard Version, verse 10 says, we're to outdo one another in showing honour. I love that. We're to outdo one another in showing honour. We're supposed to live together by constantly trying to show each other how much we value one another, by how much we care for one another, by how much we put each other first. We're supposed to try and outdo each other. It becomes like a game. I'm going to try and do my best to show you that I put you above everyone else, above me, because I love you as my brother or sister. We're to practice hospitality. And next week, don't we have the perfect opportunity to do that? To host one another in a meal, to host those outside of our family in a meal. But the point is, next week, what we're meant to do is love one another, to join in a family moment and to love one another, to try and outdo each other in showing honor. And what a beautiful moment to try and invite others into so that they might know we are followers of Jesus. How? By the way we love one another. It's a beautiful picture of what we're supposed to be as God's church. And I think placing this verse here, I wonder if Paul is saying that this God-honoring way of living, this way of loving one another, of trying to outdo each other and showing honour, is meant to produce hope. Hope that allows us to be patient in the face of affliction. That when we find ourselves persecuted by the world, we're able to be joyful in the hope that one day the world will actually be like the church. In short, the way we live together, loving one another, outdoing each other in showing honour, that is supposed to give us hope for the future. So here's a question none of us want. Does it? Does the way we interact as the family of God, the way we do life together, the way we do church together, does it give you hope for the future? Does it give you hope that one day all the world will be like this? I'll allow you to answer that yourself because I don't think I could deal with the pain. But if you come to the conclusion that not quite, then Paul is clear about how we fix it. If we're not sure we are that kind of community just yet, he's really clear on how we fix it. And it doesn't, unfortunately, start with changing everyone else. It starts with changing us. You know, when I was at uni doing the theology degree, we talk about the church a lot, you know, church with a big C. You know, so not you guys, but church with a big C. And we talk about all that church should be and all that it isn't, all that we'd love it to be and all that it's not quite, and all that it could do and all that it does do. And always we'd come back to a point where somebody would just go, "Oh, it's Michael Jackson again." And that might sound really weird, or maybe you're already there, but whenever we talked about this, we'd always come back to the same place. It starts with the man in the mirror. It starts with us. If we want to live in a community like that, it starts with me trying to outdo you in showing you how much you are worth, how much you have value, how much you are loved by God and by me. That's where it begins. And if we live like that, we can be patient in affliction. We can have hope that one day all the world will be like this, the way God has designed his church to be. So we find hope in looking backwards at what God has already done at Christmas. And we find hope in what he's doing right now in us as individuals and in his church. But finally, we have hope looking forward. We have hope in the future because Jesus is coming. Remember how we started when we started looking at this? I asked you how certain you are that December 25th was coming, how certain you are that we're going to have Christmas again this year. And everyone felt very certain that that's going to happen. Well, I hope and pray that we can be just as certain about this. Jesus is coming again. And it's not some speculative hope. It's that certain hope, the same real, certain, tangible hope that he came in the first place. But yeah, let's be honest, that's not easy, is it? I mean, it's a really good question. How can we seriously have hope for the future when the world looks like it's crumbling around us? When, as we've sung about, as we've heard about in intercessory prayers, when we see wars and riots and corruption and climate change and increasing injustice and COVID Delta and Omicron and whatever variants, how can we seriously have hope for the future? I do have an answer, but bear with me. We're going to take a little route around the houses to get to it and ask you a question. What are you like to watch movies with? What are you like to watch TV shows with? I think I'm great, obviously. Narelle would disagree. Especially if I've seen the movie before or I've seen the TV show before. And she will tell you of a particular moment, I'm sure, where we were watching a TV show and I'd seen it years before. And in the middle of this episode, I suddenly just went, and she's like, "What? What?" Nothing that was going on in the TV show should have led me to gasp. Nothing should even have, definitely shouldn't have led me to smile at this moment. And she's like, "Why are you smiling?" And I'm like, "I'm in a catch 22 here. I can't tell her. I can't." But my answer was really simple. Because I know how this ends. We can have hope no matter what is going on in this world because we know how this ends. Because despite the pain and the suffering we see around us, it is possible to have hope because we know this ends with Jesus. Love wins. Jesus has won. This story ends with the Lamb on his throne. It ends with him wiping every tear from every eye and he's got his work cut out with me. This story ends with a new beginning. And so whatever is going on around us, Jesus is coming. And so we have hope. And so as we enter into this Advent season, let us not focus on preparing our homes. Well, let's not fuss about it or stress about it, certainly. But let's prepare our hearts Let's be joyful in the waiting, joyful in the hope of that celebration that points backwards and shows us that God is faithful. Let's be joyful in the hope that God is active among us right now, that next week I'm going to take a leaf out of Isaiah's book and say we're going to see salvation. Let us hope in his continued presence in our lives and in the hope that he is coming again. Let's just pray. Oh, Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that you did come to save us. We thank you for the hope that we have in that fulfilled Christmas, but also the way it impacts us now, that we know we are loved, we are not forgotten, that you went to incredible lengths to come find us. We thank you that because of that, we have the hope that you are active in our lives right now. And Spirit, we ask you would help us in this season to prepare our hearts to receive you, to live with you, to have you change us and mold us and shape us. Help us to love one another the way that you have loved us. And Lord, we pray we would see our friends and family come to know you. And Lord, as we face whatever this Christmas throws at us, may we be filled with joy in the hope of your return. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.